Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260. Today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 16, studying Matthew chapter 16, part of a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. As we get started, these reminders: to access all of our materials, always free, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. To receive a list of these materials, just email us at free@ighradio.com. For text updates, text the word IGH free to 55222. That's IGHFREE, all one word. Text IGH free to 55222. Two great ways to study God's Word. A free, self-paced online program. Get started by going to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study by mail, call this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive our free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's get into Matthew chapter 16. We review our thoughts about the opening verses of the chapter, where the Pharisees and the Sadducees tested Jesus. They did so by asking for a sign. Though the Pharisees and the Sadducees were at odds with each other religiously, they were not opposed to working together to catch Jesus in some kind of punishable offense, one that would lead to his death. To accomplish that, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, either together or individually, tested Jesus repeatedly. They were Jesus' most frequent antagonists. As noted earlier, their testing of Jesus usually involved entrapment. They presented what looked like innocent questions, but the questions or the scenarios that they presented were designed to elicit an answer that would prompt their wrath regardless of how one responded. Those questions or those scenarios were, as we noted at the very end of our last study, they were presented maliciously and craftily. Two things before we continue. First, we will summarize a scene in Acts chapter 23, a passage that shows just how far apart the Pharisees and the Sadducees were on key beliefs. And then second, we will look at one other example of their entrapment techniques. In Matthew 16, the Pharisees and the Sadducees tested Christ together. But at the end of Acts 22 and at the beginning of Acts chapter 23, we see that they were really adversaries. Paul was accused by the Jews in Acts 22 verse 30, and he was brought before the council, Acts 23 verse 1. He got into trouble quickly when he insulted the high priest, Ananias, after he, Ananias, directed someone near Paul to strike him, verse 2. Paul called him a whitewashed wall, verse 3. He was taken to task for addressing the high priest that way, verse 4. Paul acknowledged his mistake, stated that he did not know that Ananias was the high priest, and then indicated that if he did, he would not have spoken ill of him, verse 5. What we read next shows the strong tensions between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Realizing that the council was divided between Pharisees and Sadducees, Paul affirmed his faith in the resurrection and declared that he was a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee. Here's what the text says. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." Verse 6 of Acts 23. That triggered a major dissension. Why? Because, as we read in Acts 23:8, for Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Though the Pharisees challenged Jesus many times during the course of his life, as we have repeatedly witnessed in our studies, on this occasion they sided with Paul, who was not only a very strong follower and advocate of everything Jesus, but an apostle of the Christ as well. The Pharisees, no doubt, showing affinity for Paul because he claimed to be a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee, said this, "We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." Acts 23, verse 9. So, there you have it. These two rivals were at each other's throats in this setting, but they were more than willing to cooperate with each other as they tested Jesus. And then, consider another trap question posed to Jesus. The question about taxes. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? That we referenced in our earlier studies, that question was asked in order to compel Jesus to make a choice. But either choice Jesus made would land him in trouble with someone. If Jesus said yes, he would appear to favor the Romans, whose political and military presence dominated all of the land. Saying yes would anger those who resented Rome's presence, and that would be angering a lot of people. But if Jesus answered no, then he would have shown disrespect to an entire governmental system, one that included many Jews in its employ. And then there was that lawful part of the question. How would Jesus' answer play out in view of what the Mosaic Law taught? There was no way to answer without offending someone. Wrong. Jesus' answer in that context, Matthew 22, verses 15 and following, Jesus' answer avoided the trap. We will see that in more detail when we get to that chapter. But before we leave this example, note that the text says this, Jesus perceived their wickedness. That reinforces the use of the terms maliciously and craftily about the nature of their entrapments. One more thing about what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing in this passage, Matthew 16. The particular form or tense of the word translated test or testing indicates that what they were doing was done on an ongoing basis, more so than a once-and-done affair. All of the other texts that we cited earlier, where reference was made either to both groups together or just one of them separately testing Jesus, plus the various contexts where the word test appears, that repeatedly demonstrates that their attempts to catch Jesus in some punishable offense never ended. Remember what we saw earlier in Matthew 12, verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. In case you have forgotten, the word destroy here means kill. Let's address the specific test that the Pharisees and the Sadducees presented to Jesus. They asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. Jesus' first response, in summary, was this, "You can see the sky, and based on what you see in the sky, you draw conclusions." Jesus' remarks can be summed up in the popular weather adage, "Red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky at morning, sailors take warning." The Pharisees and the Sadducees grasped that. The evidence in this physical world allowed them to draw conclusions, general predictions in this instance about future weather events. Jesus' concern, however, was that they failed to see, that they failed to draw conclusions based on other equally clear evidence. That other equally clear evidence was not cited here. But remember this. The Pharisees and the Sadducees did not just drop into this setting from nowhere for the first time in Matthew 16. They had been tracking and watching John first and then Jesus, asking them questions and testing them too since the beginning of their respective ministries. The words used here, equally clear evidence, that needs explanation. In John's Gospel, John chapter 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave. Some saw what Jesus did, and they came to believe in him. The text says, "Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him." John chapter 11, verse 45. Others, however, saw what Jesus did and went away to tell the Pharisees about it. Verse 46. The Pharisees, along with the chief priests, convened a council and said, "What shall we do?" Verse 47. They saw Jesus working many signs, and they were afraid that, if Jesus continued, the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. Verse 48. Caiaphas, the current high priest, offered this suggestion. It would be expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Verse 50. So, what did this council do? Then, from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Verse 53. Two different groups witnessed the same event, yet they drew two radically different conclusions. The first believed in Jesus. The second, afraid of their place as well as the nation, sought to stop Jesus' miracles, and they plotted to put him to death. To be sure, the second group, who thought that Jesus must die, could have some members in that group who also saw that the evidence demanded that Jesus was divine, but who, for reasons not stated in the chapter, were unwilling to yield to the evidence. Sometimes, in the midst of a disagreement with someone, we might, in a moment of fleeting honesty within ourselves, realize that what the other person just said or just argued for was, in fact, true. But as a matter of pride and self-defense, we refuse to admit it. More often than not, an unwillingness to accept and or admit the truth or certain conclusions results from pride, a resistant will, more so than it does intellectual inability to assess, to accept, to admit, and then to live in accordance with the evidence presented. That the issue of pride often interrupted the reasoning process of Jesus' antagonists. And the same thing can interrupt our reasoning. It's not that our reasoning inherently fails because of our lostness or our fallen nature, but rather because we refuse to yield to the evidence. Yes, it's true that someone approached for the very first time with a major life-changing decision must usually give pause and give heavy consideration to what they are being asked to believe or what they are being asked to do. But the weightiness of the decision often comes due to our stubborn will or a desire to avoid the consequences of that decision and not due to an inherently resistant intellect. Yes, of course, we are all different. That's a given. The whole notion of individual demands that you are not like me and that I am not like the next person. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 16. This reminder as we close, to enroll in our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.